In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Dear saints, medicine is amazing. It really is. But I think most of us know this. There are some times, and maybe it's even most of the time, where we suffer more from the side effects of the medicine than we do benefit from taking the medicine. Or in kind of a similar situation, has there ever been a time when you, in an attempt to make a situation better, have acted boldly, spoken boldly, done something boldly, and then made the situation worse? The woman in our text is suffering. And she is suffering something awful. She's been suffering for 12 years. Well, do something about it then. Don't just whine. You can't tell her that. Because from the moment that she has been suffering throughout those 12 years, she has been trying to make things better. She has been consulting physicians the entire time. And this isn't from our text, but it's from the Gospel of Mark about this same woman. There was this woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And this is the addition here. And she had suffered much under many physicians. And had spent all that she had had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. That is, after taking this medicine, she still suffered from the discharge of blood. And to add it on top of that, she had no money because she had spent it all trying to get better. And she was probably suffering from the side effects of the medicine that she was taking. And she was probably suffering emotionally and physically because she was exhausted from trying. She was frustrated at wit's end, ready to give up, tired of being alone, tired of being an outcast, because that is exactly what this blood discharge would do. It would make her an outcast to her friends and to her family and to all of her society. All of that is summarized in this succinct statement. She was no better, but rather she grew worse. Now, the problem that this woman has is real, and it is physical. Is the problem with her? Or is the problem with the medicine that she was prescribed? And the answer to that is yes. It's both. This pain that the woman was experiencing was real. And I really want us to grasp this. Because sometimes when we read these biblical stories, I mean, maybe even especially in the Old Testament, sometimes when we read these, we don't actually think about that these are real people suffering from real things. And that our Lord has mercy by doing something real for them, something for their body. Just as, dear saints, just as these things are read to you right now, these healings that our Lord has, this mercy that our Lord has, as this is read, our Lord is living and active, for his word is not dead, and he is present to help you, real physical people, with real physical emotional problems that you have. Our Lord joins in us with these real people today to make you well, to give you endurance for the battle, to help you, to save you. And I wanted to emphasize this because the woman's pain, it is real, but I also think that this real pain can teach us something about our spiritual battle. Because, you see, dear saints, you are sick. And in fact, we are dying. We are sinners, and we sin, and the wages of sin is death. So, is the problem us? Absolutely. But is the problem also the medicine that we are all too often prescribed? Absolutely to that. Because you see, the medicine that we are so often prescribed, so often by the world, so often by our friends and by our family, and way too often by other Christians, is a very damaging medicine. And it is side effects far outweigh the benefit that you would get from taking it. You know, there's been studies that have said that we are, at this point in time, this point in time in history, this is the most narcissistic culture that has existed since they've been able to measure this. That is, we think so highly of ourselves. We think we're the center of the universe. And you would think, what would this do to emotional health? What would this do to emotional health? You would think that that would increase emotional health. If I'm the only one in the universe, man, I am special, right? But we are also the most depressed culture that has existed since they've been able to measure that. The culture with the lowest self-esteem. Because the medicine that is so often prescribed by our friends and by our family, the medicine that we so often take willingly because we prescribe it to ourselves, the medicine that is all too often prescribed by other Christians, even Christian pastors, is that the answer lies within you. Dig there. Look there. It's right there. You just got to dig a little deeper. It's within yourself. If you were to tell that woman who had suffered for 12 years that the answer lied within her, she would laugh at you because she had been trying for 12 years to find that answer. And we should do the same when that is prescribed to us, but we don't. We all too often take it because we are narcissistic. Give this medicine right here. Take it. The answer lies within you. Oh, of course it does. I'm awesome. The answer of your sin and of your death does not lie within you. That is awful medicine. The woman that suffers from this blood problem is an example of how we suffer, because we suffer from a blood problem too. Because where does our blood flow to? And where does our blood flow from? And what comes out of that heart? But deceitful desires and lust and anger and gossip. It is a heart that by nature looks to within. So when the answer is that you should try harder, you should say, yes, I should, but that is not the answer. When the answer is we should pray more, it should be, yes, we should, I need it. And so do the others that surround me. They need my prayers. If the answer is that you should try and make up for your lack of love that you have given, for the abundance of selfishness to the people that you are surrounded with, you should say, yes, of course, but that is not our answer. Those are all encapsulated. Those answers are all encapsulated in this one simple word that our Lord often tells us, and that is repent. But that is not the answer. Because if you think repentance is simply being sorry for your sin, then you only get it half right. That is the law that tells you what to do, and that is only half of the story. Because the second part of repentance is faith in our Lord Jesus. of looking within, of seeing the damage that we have caused to ourselves, the damage that we have caused to others, and saying, this is not what I desire. I feel my pain. I feel my sin. So now I'm going to look outside of me. And this woman gets it right. She looks to her Jesus. Because your conscience can never be quieted by looking within, by something good that you do. It will always be like that game, you know, those arcade games of whack-a-mole? Where you get one, but then out pops another. If you try and make up for one sin, one damning sin, then another one's going to pop back right up. May not be the same one. It's always going to laugh at you, too. You know, those moles, they laugh at you. If the answer lies within, it will all be encapsulated in this succinct phrase, we will not get better, but we will, in fact, grow worse. So our Jesus is here to point us to himself. He is good. He is kind. And he loves to give. And we should love to receive. He had no blood problem or heart problem, but shed his blood for you, so that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb to make you holy and white, to stand before his throne in purity. The woman came up from behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, for she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. And this woman gets it right. She gets it right there, because you never, when you come here, you never receive a partial Jesus. You get the whole thing. This woman thinks that if she just touches something that touches Jesus, she will be made well. Because the things that come into contact with Jesus are holy. And dear saints, you have come into contact with Jesus today through his word, through his forgiveness. And your tongue will come into contact with our Lord's body. Your lips will taste our Lord's blood for you, to strengthen you in body and in soul. You never get a partial Jesus. You get the whole Christ. The garments that this woman touched are the very garments that were stripped naked on the cross, so that he in his baptism of you could cover all of your shame, could cover all of your sins. You are pure, you are holy, you are made well today. It took this woman 12 years to look to the right person. May our Lord bring us to our Jesus much quicker than that. And he has. May our Lord bring us to our Jesus much faster than that. And he has, because you are here. Take heart, your Jesus says. You have come to the right place, to your Jesus, to his church. You are made well. Do you have a blood problem? That is, do you have a heart problem, a sin problem? And take drink his blood, which enters you into your body, into your blood, for he becomes a part of you there. That is our answer. That is our peace. Amen.